Happy Mother's Day. Today is a day of honoring our moms. For others, if you're like me, a day of remembering your mom. But we celebrate moms and motherhood, and we cannot elevate and uphold that office high enough. Moms matter, and moms matter big time. And I'm fully aware that on Mother's Day, Mother's Day can evoke a wide variety of emotions for a wide variety of reasons. I want to acknowledge that. Some particularly tender and sad, many celebratory, some a little bittersweet, but I certainly acknowledge that. And for many of us in this room, it was our parents and perhaps especially our mothers who introduced us to faith. In fact, the title of this morning's message is Four Moms of Faith, and you're going to hear from four different moms and their faith story. Now, three of those you'll hear on video right here in our church. And the first mom you're going to hear from is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. And this is I think, just a fascinating interchange between Jesus and a mother who's very, very desperate. But you're going to see her heart. You're going to see her perseverance. You're going to see her faith. You're going to see her love for her child. Now, this particular story is very perplexing and very vexing. And it's the kind of story, when you first look at it, you think, well, this doesn't sound like the Jesus I've always heard of. This doesn't sound like the Jesus I've always read about. He sounds abrasive. He sounds rude. You need to imagine Jesus this morning winking at you. You need to see the sparkle, the twinkling in his eyes. You need to realize he's got a little something up his sleeve, because Jesus is a master teacher. And sometimes he will allow you to wrestle with the situation so that you might grow. So he's given us all a little test today, all right? Here we go. We start reading Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Leaving that place, leaving the Galilean region around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. I've got a little map. Let me put it up here on the screen. And the area of Tyre and Sidon, well, you see, there's the Sea of Galilee, almost to the top there. But about 35 miles north, at the very top of the map, you see Phoenicia. And that's where Tyre and Sidon are located. And this is a very, very unusual place for a Jewish Messiah to go. This is not a Jewish region. In fact, the region of Tyre and Sidon, they're legendary for their immorality, for their ungodliness. The Canaanites, you know, the typical enemies of Israel. That's the land of the Canaanites. But Jesus goes here and he takes his disciples. Like I say, it's about a 35-mile trip. You say, well, 35 miles, that's no big deal. That's a three-day trip in that day. There's a lot of talking that can go on over a three-day trip. How long would a three-day road trip, how far would that take you today? But it's still 3 days, and a lot of conversing can go on. But Jesus, very intentionally now, is taking his followers. We're going to get away, but here's where we're going. We're going to Tyre and Sidon, or to that region. Once they're there, here's what happens. Verse 22. A Canaanite woman, a non-Jewish woman, a woman from a culture that had a reputation as being very ungodly, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David. And by the way, in this conversation, this Canaanite woman will call Jesus Lord three different times. And notice what she says here. She calls him Lord, Son of David. Where does that come from? Son of David, that's how you would describe the Jewish Messiah, the promised Messiah coming through the lineage of David. But this Canaanite woman, she knows something about Jesus. Not only does she believe Jesus can help her daughter, but she knows something about him. She's got information. May I remind you what faith is? Faith is a response to information. The Bible says you get faith by hearing and responding to the Word of God. If you want your faith in God to grow, you expose yourself to information. And faith is a response to information. You don't get faith by sitting in a lazy boy and hoping God zaps you someday. You get faith by listening to teaching, by reading scripture, by talking about it with other people. Faith is a response to information. You feed your faith grows. And somehow, we don't know the backstory. Somehow, this Canaanite woman knows enough to say, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering from demon possession." We have no idea what form that looks like, but this mother is desperate. Now, notice how Jesus reacts to her. He basically ignores her. Verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. And now it's about to get worse. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send this woman away, for she keeps crying out after us." In other words, she's a Canaanite for crying out loud. She's not one of us. She's not part of the inner circle. She doesn't really know what's going on. She's an intrusion. She's an unnecessary interruption. "Lord, we came here to have some great time with you. Send this woman away." And notice what Jesus says. Now, also pay attention. He does not send her away, but notice what he does say. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Is that true? Answer, no. But remember, Jesus is winking at you. He's got something up his sleeve. He was sent first to the lost sheep of Israel. But remember, this is the same Jesus who later, when just before he ascends, what does he say? "You go make disciples of all nations." "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." He's saying this to this woman, but not to her only. Also, the disciples are all right there. He says, "You're not really my kind of people. You're not my concern. I wasn't sent for people like you. You're not my responsibility." People read that and hear that and go, "That's not the Jesus I thought existed." Jesus is a master teacher. And he is a master at deliberately and intentionally creating frustration. You say, "Well, Ronnie, that's no big deal. I'm married to somebody who is a master at intentionally creating frustration." That's not hard to do. I have a lot of coworkers who are masters at intentionally and deliberately creating frustration. I get that. But Jesus, different type here. Jesus is not trying to be annoying. He's teaching. He's testing. Kenneth Bailey's a Middle Eastern scholar in biblical studies, and he says Jesus is actually giving two tests here. One test to this woman: will she persevere? Will she give up? Or will she endure? But he's also giving another test to his disciples. It's a love test. Will any of these disciples go to bat for this woman? Will any of these disciples say, "Well, Jesus, can't you just help her a little?" Will any of these disciples stand up for her? Today, they will not. In this story, you're going to see the disciples fail this test. You're going to see the woman pass the test. Now, later on, the disciples will do well, but today, not so much. And Kenneth Bailey, in his writing, said, what a lot of people in our Western culture, they'll read this story, and they try to picture it like this. Jesus and this woman, they're having a private little one-on-one conversation. No. This is a community conversation. This is a conversation where the disciples are right there, they're listening in, and everything that Jesus is saying, He's saying for their benefit as well. So first of all, the woman begs Jesus, have mercy. He ignores her. Then he says, I really wasn't sent here for people like you. Now notice what she says. Verse 25. The woman came and knelt before Jesus. Lord, help me. For the second time, she calls him Lord. And notice her demeanor. She kneels before him. And he replied, it's just not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Oh my goodness, did Jesus just call this woman a dog? Yes. How many of you are dog owners, dog lovers? Yeah, my kind of people right there. Great, great, great. And, you know, our dog Charlie, he's part of the family. We love him. Leona Helmsley left $12 million in her will to her dog. You know, we kind of like our dogs. But when Jesus says this, this is not a compliment. This is an insult. You're asking me for mercy and help. Listen, it's just not right to take the food that's meant for the children and give it to the outside scavengers, give it even to the puppies. But notice this woman's reaction. She's amazing. Verse 27, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. For the third time, she calls him Lord, and she says, all right, Lord, listen. You feed the kids, but I bet you've got a crumb for me. And if all I get from you is a crumb, I believe it will be sufficient. I may not be a Jew, but I know this. I believe that God's got enough mercy to go around, and I believe he's got enough mercy and kindness to me. Maybe I can't be one of the children, but I can be a puppy under the table. And if all you've got's a crumb, I believe a crumb from you will do the trick. And in a culture where so many people feel entitled and they're demanding, this woman's attitude is very, very refreshing. And now Jesus takes off his mask. Now Jesus shows his cards and tells you what he's been up to all along. He's been appealing to the heroic in this woman. He's been drawing out her faith. He's been drawing out her determination. And he's been asking, guys, will any of you go to bat for her? And now Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You have great, mega faith. And the disciples, they're standing there with their mouths open. They're astonished. Why? Because when this Canaanite woman walked up, they viewed her as an inferior interruption. When in reality, she was dealing with Jesus at a level of faith, at a level of worship, at a level of reverence that his apostles didn't have. Only two times in the Bible does Jesus tell someone, you have mega, that's the word, mega faith. And to this woman, woman, you have mega faith. Now, I told you Jesus was giving a couple of tests. You do know that he still is. Every day you face the love test, and so do I. It's easy to love people who are just like you, and they're easy. But what about the people around you? And it's a little bit of a challenge, and sometimes that kind of person is even in your family. Maybe in your church. It could be an entire group of people where you've had a tendency to say, they're just not my kind of people. How are you doing with the love test? Because as a disciple of Jesus Christ, God calls us to extend authentic Christ-like love and to see in the eyes of every person, even a woman from Tyre and Sidon, the image of God, and that is a woman loved by God. How are you doing with the endurance test? Some of you are there right now. You're in a situation. You just don't know how it's going to work out. And when you find yourself in a situation and you just don't know how it's going to work out, can you, with both grace and resolve, continue to believe that God is indeed good, and that when God ultimately shows his cards, that you will not be disappointed in him? In fact, the story of the Canaanite woman here, her small little snapshot is but a microcosm of what you will experience as a believer. You will know desperation. You will know endurance. And when it's all said and done, you will see the resolution, what God will bring about in due time. Now, I told you we were going to hear from four moms. You've heard from one, but I want you to hear from three more by the way of video. And they are Nancy Cook, Sandy Ferguson, and Brittany Blackburn. And all three of these moms are well acquainted with desperation, but they're also well versed in faith, in love, and in endurance. So let's start with Nancy and hear her story.
I have two children. Alyssa will be 11 very soon, in a few weeks, and Tristan just turned 7. So they're in 5th and 1st grade, respectively. When Alyssa was 5, the doctors found a brain tumor. The biggest scare for us was that it was sitting on her brachus, which controls her speech. To remove it would mean that there is a very high chance that she would come out of surgery mute for the rest of her life. Anger was the first thing we felt, which was very human, I guess. But when we came to accept it, we accepted it on the premise that we were gonna go about this the Christian way, which is to seek help from the church for support. And walk this walk with Jesus. Through a lot of prayers, a lot of support from the church and family that came from far and wide, all over, we're happy to say that Alyssa is a happy, healthy 11-year-old. And we will always forever be grateful to all the support and the help, and of course, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Nancy. And now I want you to hear from Sandy Ferguson.
I'm married to Scott Ferguson. We have had two beautiful daughters, Jenna and Alyssa. Alyssa has gone on before us. Faith has played a vital role in whatever we have encountered in life. I think it has played an important role. Prayer has played an important role. It didn't always change my circumstances, but it changed me. I think the best piece of advice is to say that not to be afraid. And don't parent your kids out of fear. That's the greatest detriment to your potential, is that you allow fear to creep in. And there are going to be tragedies, and there's going to be a lot of interruptions in your life. And those are the moments that you look at your season and say, sometimes I can't do this. But there's a risk that you have to take that is trusting God, and that requires a lot. And sometimes it requires that you know you're going to lose everything you have. But in the end, it's worth it. Trusting God is not easy. When you say you're in a season of your life that says, I'm at a point where I can't do this anymore, and what you have to look back on is to say, it's not about what you can't do, it's about what God can do through you. And that's what He's done.
And now, Brittany Blackburn. Let's listen to Brittany.
I'm the mother of four children. My oldest, Clara, is 5 years old, and she's a child with special needs. I have Camille, who's three, and then I have two children in heaven, a baby that we lost at 2 months pregnant, and then another one who we lost in 2015 at 5 months pregnant. My Christian faith has been invaluable. When we lost our son in 2015, I delivered him. And so when you're holding your child in your arms, that's already with Jesus, it's in that moment where you have to decide, okay, is everything that I've said I believed about God to this point, either it's true or it's not. Either it's what's gonna get me through or it's not. It was in that moment I had to choose, okay, God really is who He says He is. God is good regardless of this pain and heartache that I'm feeling right now. And it was that choice that kept me going. Tears don't mean you don't have enough faith or don't have enough trust or that you don't even have peace, because I have a lot of peace and a lot of joy and a lot of hope, but I'm just a mom that misses her child. And I think that will always be the case. And so being sad is okay. So it's okay to be sad, it's okay to grieve, because there's still a lot of peace and hope and joy in that. You know, if you're ever in a situation where, in motherhood, where you're questioning God's goodness, you know, is how can God be good in this situation? How can God, where is His goodness in this? Where is His goodness in the death of my child? I think we can always find that answer going back to the cross, because He's already gifted me in you with the best gift that we'll ever have, the only thing in this life that we actually need. He has given it to us freely, and He's taken care of us, and so His goodness is shown vividly at the cross. And so when I am hurting and sad and questioning why, you know, always just go back to the cross.
Join me in expressing our thanks to Nancy, Sandy, and Brittany for sharing that. Yeah. All three would tell you indeed that the Lord is good and that His love endures forever. And that, listen, that's true in the light and that's true in the darkness. That's true on good days and that's true on difficult days. And for those mega faith moms, it's their faith that has sustained them and been a source of strength over the journey. In closing, I want you to just look around for a moment, because we have tremendous women here at the First Colony Church of Christ. Here today, there are young moms, there are single moms, there are grandmothers, there are great-grandmothers. There are women here who are stay-at-home moms. There are women here who homeschool. There are women here who work as business leaders and board members. There are moms who have kids by birth. There are moms who adopt kids. And women who mentor and care for children around them. Motherhood comes in a lot of different packages, and we celebrate it all. And yes, Mom, it's true, you're not perfect. But please, cut yourself some slack. show yourself some grace. Give yourself a break. No, you're not perfect, but you are present. You are present. And your endurance and your faith and your love and your presence, it's making a world of difference. And we salute you and thank you for it. And gentlemen, may I say something to you? Encourage and cheer on the women in your world, in your life. Bless them and cheer them on.